John Duvetter, Area Livestock Specialist, North Dakota State University Extension Service.
All right, sir. You put out an article recently about a way that beginning ranchers might be able to get into the business of cattle, raising cattle, and it involves leasing. Tell us about this concept, and is this something that you're seeing that has begun to be used in North Dakota and elsewhere?
I think in the long-term picture of ranchers, they should own their cows, and leasing is usually a step for entry-level people with limited equity, financial borrowing power to make a first step, get some livestock that they can work with, or hopefully earn some profits and put back into their operation. Leasing cows has been around for a long time. Usually it was within family of a retiring generation, didn't outright sell to the next generation because they didn't have the wherewithal financially to do it. So they set up leases, and over time, and replacing the herd shifted to the new operator. Right now, we're seeing some of that maybe go a little more general in the fact that breeding stock is fairly high priced. The whole picture of getting into agriculture is capital intensive. Sometimes financing is reserved for land or equipment or other needs, and to put the package together works better for them to lease some cows.
Okay. Well, so have you met anybody or worked with anybody who is trying this out for the first time, a young farmer or rancher?
Oh, yes, we know. I know of a number of them. Usually a lease is in their minds a way to get started, and if things go well and their business finances and growth moves according to goals, maybe after 5 or 10 years those cows are replaced with owned cows. Sometimes somebody has an opportunity to acquire an expanded acreage of grazing lands, and it just doesn't fit for them to go out and stock it right away. They might take some in. So we've got, like I said, the family, the part-time startup guy getting going, the rapidly expanding instances where cow leasing has been used in North Dakota.
Okay. Well, certainly you also pointed out in the article that the cattle herd is shrinking. The industry is smaller than it was, and we've had the challenges of the drought and higher feed costs and all those factors too. It seems to me that this sounds like that makes this possible arrangement, potential arrangement, maybe this is a good time for something like that for a new farmer.
I think it is, or it can be. This is not meant to be, you know, any magic bullet. It's just another way of acquiring assets and working the business, and it fits for some and it doesn't for others. The real challenge probably means competition for acreage and land base for most young guys. And in some instances, they can maybe lease some cows, which gives them access to that owner's leased ground as well, and that might be another incentive to lease some cattle from somebody so they can access or rent his pasture acreage, because they're tied together. And just the competition for land with good farming and reasonably good returns in this part of the world have made, you know, rentals values go up and difficulty for new guys or young guys to compete for that resource.
Well, you pointed out that it has the possibility for being a good arrangement, but it also could have a downside as well. What are some of the, or what are the most important steps to consider before getting into an arrangement like this, or when you are in an arrangement like this?
Oh, I think you better do a little diligence on who you're going to get into business with, you know, from both sides. You want an operator who's going to do a good job with your cattle, going to preserve their worth and value and keep them productive and healthy and nourished and cared for. Likewise, as an operator, you want someone who's going to be fair with you and setting the rates, going to be reasonable and accepting normal death losses in trials of producing cattle, you know, and not push all the risk onto you. So you better get to know your who you're wanting to do business with. That's probably the most important part of the whole concept.
Sure, there has to be that trust that exists on both sides.
You know, and some of this can be kind of talked about, explained. It can be worded into contractual arrangements. But you can't protect yourself against everything, and you can't make a lengthy document that, you know, is too extensive. But it does have to have, like I mentioned in that article, some things need to be pointed out: how the cattle are identified, where they're going to be at, what's the term of the thing, what's the rate of the thing. And you might have some things on some death loss provisions, and you might have some things about normal care provisions. But you can't cover everything. So that's why it goes back to work with people you trust.
Well, you also have a budget spreadsheet that's available through the North Dakota State University Extension Service. What kind of things can they plug into that? And how important would it be to have something like that?
Well, as I indicated, if you're going to do a share arrangement versus a cash arrangement, well, even in a cash, you better know where you're standing. Usually you share the calf crop in proportion to the economic contributions you make into that budget. So a budget just gives you a way in a spreadsheet to put some numbers in, calculate the total cost of raising a calf, figure out how much you put in as an operator, see how much is contributed by the owner, and then you have a way to kind of arrive at a negotiable point of where the split should be. Now, that can be done on paper, it can be done on a spreadsheet budget. There's actually universities. I believe University of Nebraska has a spreadsheet designed to actually break it into two different parties for the intent purpose of determining share leases. But most any land-grant university, through their livestock marketing or management or production entities, will have budgets that are appropriate for the area.
Sure. Okay.
The numbers which would be in the North Dakota budget would be fairly typical average numbers: pasture costs, feed costs, health costs, marketing costs, overhead costs, labor charges, and so forth that are associated with North Dakota production. That might not be the good budget to get ballpark numbers for somebody in a much different area.
That makes sense. So check with your state experts on that. Anything else you'd like to add that you think? And also, do you have any examples? Of course, without naming names, but any examples where this has worked out exceptionally well or gone exceptionally wrong?
I think there's both of those that exist, and probably most people in the industry have heard one or the other. I do know in North Dakota, in my career, we've seen some young guy come out of college, start working back on the family farm, trying to get his own enterprise to expand it, took in some leased cows. After a period of time, he retained some of the heifers, generated some cash flow, got his feet on the ground, and we've got some examples now that they're substantial ranchers with, you know, fairly high equity and all owned that livestock. So it's worked out well. We've also got examples where somebody took some cattle in, didn't care for them well. The calf crop was small. The marketability of the calves wasn't good. There was some excess death loss. The guy had come in and got his cows, tried to salvage it before it got any worse. So there's those examples that didn't go well. But we've got, like I said, transfers within family members that have worked well. We've got some examples that have worked well. We've got some people who have just really, really driven to get into agriculture. Their first deal was to get a land base. Once they got some rented land, then it was challenging to get the tractor for feeding plus the cattle, and they took in some, and that's worked well for them as a first step growing into the business. But like I said, there's examples on both sides of that.